Colossians chapter 1. I want to read verse 6 to you. It says this. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. So Paul is writing to the Colossian church. He's writing to them and he says that this good news is changing lives everywhere it goes, talking about the gospel. That's exactly what we're talking about this morning. When we're celebrating newness of life, what are we talking about? We're talking about lives being completely changed. People whose lives were headed in one direction, but then Jesus got a hold of them and it completely transformed them and gave them not just a new destiny for eternity, but a new life here and now. He's talking about lives being changed. And he says, it's this good news. This good news, it's going out all over the world. It's bearing fruit and changing lives. There is a news that is so good and so wonderful that when it impacts someone's life, it completely transforms it and changes it. That's how good it is. It's what in Romans chapter 1 says, that the good news, the gospel, is the power of God. That's how good this news is. It'll change someone so they're never the same again. And he writes to these Colossians and he's giving them a report and he's doing it in a way that he knows they're going to be pumped about this. They're going to be excited. Listen, guys, the good news, it's going out all over the world. It's bearing fruit. It's changing lives. How did he know that they'd be excited about it? Because he knew that it had changed their lives. And he says, it's changing lives just like it changed your life. That's why they would be excited about other people knowing about Jesus. Why would they care that people on the other side of the world in different countries and different cities, why would they care that they heard about Jesus? Because they knew what Jesus did for them. And so they were excited for other people to step into this newness of life. There is a direct relationship between your excitement for other people to hear about Jesus and your own experience with Jesus. When you hear about other people coming to know Jesus, how excited are you? How much joy does that bring you? Because it's a revelation of where you're at in your own relationship with Jesus. If it's like, oh, it's nice, but I don't really care, that's a red flag. Things need to be evaluated. Your passion and excitement, your joy when you hear, hey, we did an outreach and 12 people came to know Jesus. Three people last week came forward to give their hearts to Jesus. That should birth a joy in your heart related to what your own experience has been. You know, not everyone in the church has been changed. Not everyone's been transformed. And in this passage, Paul says how and when these people's lives were changed. Let me read it again. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives. How did it change their life? When did it change their life? Just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. Two things happened. They heard about God's wonderful grace, but when they came to understand, they understood the truth about God's wonderful grace, their lives were changed. You know, there's a lot of people in the church that if they're honest, man, their life has not changed very much, if at all, other than the fact that they come to church on occasion. They feel a little more religious, but to say, man, I've got a new life, they can't genuinely say that. You know, there's a lot of people that know about Jesus. They've heard about Jesus. They've read the book. They know the story. They could even tell parts of the story, but they don't really understand the truth about just how wonderful God's grace really is, the truth about his wonderful grace. It's the grace of God that allows us to have relationship with him. It's the grace of God that allows us to come into his presence, that we speak to him and he listens to us, that we can really have genuine fellowship with God himself. That's the grace of God. Because of what God accomplished in Jesus. Every religion will have some rules, some hoops that you have to jump through as you try to appease and earn the favor of whatever deity that religion is aimed at. Certain rituals, certain different religion and aspects of that religion as you try to get on the good side and earn favor with fill in the blank, whatever God that religion is aimed at. That's what is unique about Christianity, that it's not on us to try to please this God. God knew that was impossible. You and I are incapable of really doing that. So he sent his own son to pay the price for our sins so that in Jesus, we find that we've been able to please the Father, that we find acceptance. We can step into a relationship with God, real relationship, not because of what I've done or what you've done, 100% because of Jesus. That's understanding the wonderful truth about God's grace. He did it for us. The Father has been satisfied in Jesus, and we get to enjoy the benefits of that and enjoy his presence, hear his voice, talk to him and he listens to us. Real, genuine fellowship. That's the truth about God's wonderful grace, and that's what changes a person's life. So we've got to have our eyes fixed, not on our efforts, our eyes fixed on Jesus. That's what the Bible says, that keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. That just means he's the one that started it, and he's the one that's able to bring it to completion. It's all about Jesus. A relationship with God should be an enjoyable relationship. Sweet, wonderful fellowship. But that's not the way it is for a lot of people. Relationship with God should be enjoyable. But it's not enjoyable when you feel like you never measure up and you've always missed it in some way. So when you come into a time of devotion at your house or into a church service like this, you just always have the sense of, I've blown it, I'm not good enough. You feel condemnation. You know, when I was in high school, I took many trips to see the principal in the office. And I went for a variety of reasons. I was sent to the office for being disruptive in class. I was sent to the office for skipping class, for skipping school. I was sent to the office for being in fights. I was sent to visit the principal for forging teachers' signatures on documents. All kinds of different reasons I was sent to the principal's office. And when I was on my way, I wasn't in a hurry to get there. I wasn't excited about going to see the principal. I'd stop at every bathroom along the way, every drinking fountain, find the longest route to the office. I was not excited about going because I knew what I was going to hear. I'd heard it before. He's disappointed in me. He expects more out of me. I've got potential that I'm not living up to. Why do I have to make these? I knew what I was going to hear. But there were other kids, when they were sent to the office, it was a different experience for them. They were sent because they'd had perfect attendance and they were going to be rewarded for it, or they were going to be, you know, accepted into the National Honor Society, or they'd achieved something in athletics or some other reward. And when they went to the office, they had a different approach. They were excited to go there. Why? Why was it so different between me and them? Because of what we were expecting when we got there. We're going to the same place to meet with the same person. I'm dreading it. They can't wait to get there. That's the way it is with so many people coming into the presence of God or going into a time of prayer or getting up in the morning and spending time in the Word. People, when they feel like, man, I've missed it, I've blown it, they feel condemnation. But the Bible says that there is no condemnation for people who are located in a very specific spot. There's no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. It's when I get outside of Christ Jesus, that's when I become susceptible to condemnation, because now it's about my efforts and what I've done and what I haven't done and how I've performed. That's where there's condemnation. But if I can just keep myself in Jesus, my eyes on him, it's about his grace, it's about his mercy. There's no condemnation there. I can come into the presence of God and I expect to be rewarded, to hear his voice, to know his goodness, to feel the sweetness of his presence. In fact, the Bible says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. People can come to know the truth about his wonderful grace, and their lives are changed because they know, the more I pursue this God, the more it's wonderful to serve this God. Fellowship with him is wonderful. But when you feel condemnation, that sets people up to enter into a dry, religious, unenjoyable, filled with effort and striving and straining kind of Christianity, which really isn't Christianity at all. Because people think, and I feel like God's disappointed with me. I feel like I've blown it, I've missed it again. So maybe if I add this, maybe if I start doing this too, maybe if I start performing, and you get your eyes off of Jesus and onto your own performance and think that you're gonna earn the favor of God because you're trying harder than ever. Now, we're all for holiness and walking in righteousness. But there's a difference between doing things to earn God's favor and doing things in response just because you love. It's because you love the Lord. I want to walk in holiness. things. I love the Lord. I want to please him. It's like with my kids. I want to do nice things for them. I want to bless just because I love them, not because I'm worried that they're going to strike me dead if I don't do something. It's a different aspect of relationship. Blessing my children, thinking of ways, how can I make them happy? How can I, you know, show them a good time? I want them to enjoy themselves. I want to bless them just because I love my kids, not out of fear, not out of worry and dread and trying to earn their approval. So we walk in holiness, not trying to get God to be pleased with us. It's because we love the Lord. We know what he's done for us. Relationship with God should be enjoyable. And you should have relationship with God that goes beyond just having said a prayer and accepting Jesus as Savior. That's wonderful. That's important. But you should have a relationship with God that isn't occasional requests. It's constant fellowship. It's communion. That God is involved in every area of your life, every aspect of your life that God's involved with. Think about a healthy relationship between a father and his child. What does that look like? That's what God wants with you. You know, if I told you that I had a great relationship with my kids, boy, we were just so close. I think we've got the ideal relationship. And you said, oh yeah, tell me about it. I said, okay, well, usually about once a month, sometimes once every 2 months, they come to me and they say, sorry for doing a bunch of stuff that you don't like. And then they usually ask me for a couple of things. It's so wonderful. And then I know I'll see them in another month or two. They'll come and they'll do the same thing. Would that sound like an ideal relationship? You'd think I was crazy for thinking that was the ideal father-child relationship, right? But that's the way so many Christians have a relationship with the Lord, that they show up and try to talk to him just to apologize or just to ask for things, or it's a relationship so filled with obligations that it's not enjoyable for them or for the Lord. God wants to draw you into a sweet place of genuine communion where you love him and you love his presence and you are confident in the fact that he loves you too. You've got to have a revelation of the goodness of God, the love of God, to come to an understanding, not just to have heard about his grace, to understand the truth about his wonderful, wonderful grace. That's when a life is changed. That's where someone becomes entirely transformed, when they hear and understand the truth about God's wonderful grace. There's nothing religious about it. It's relationship. It's serving the Lord. And now is the time. This is the time to be in relationship with the Lord. This is the time to be in relationship with the Lord. That's why the Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Coming into a relationship with the Lord based on Jesus, our eyes on Jesus. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." There's a point in time coming. The Bible says that each one of us will have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It won't be all of us together. It won't be us as a church. It won't be you and your best friend, you and your spouse. It will be you. They'll call your name. Steve, Jennifer. The Lord will call your name and you'll go to stand before the judgment seat. Listen to what Jesus said is going to happen on that day, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Jesus said there's coming a point in time where people will have to stand before him and they'll say, "Lord, I knew your name. I knew a lot of the stories. I did some stuff for you." They'll try to point to their religious accomplishments, and Jesus isn't going to be impressed by any of that. He's going to say, "Yeah, but I didn't know you. I didn't know you." He's not looking for people that have just a bunch of accomplishments under their belt, spiritually speaking. He's looking for people that have fellowship with him. That when we abide in him and him in us, the fruit just comes as a byproduct of that. But if you try to have the fruit without having the relationship, you'll fall into this category of people that tries to point to all the things you did, how involved you were, how religious, how pious you were, how people thought you were a great man of God or a great woman of God. But if Jesus says, I don't even know you, then the next thing he's going to say is, "Depart from me." That's why it's so important, having relationship with God now, not based on your performance, based on Jesus, understanding the truth about God's wonderful, wonderful grace, and having your life changed, completely different, a new you, newness of life found only in Jesus. The Bible talks about where Jesus is. Tells us different things that Jesus is currently doing. It says that he's seated at the right hand of the Father. It tells us that Jesus is interceding for us. He's pleading to the Father. He's talking about you to the Father. In Revelation chapter 3, it says that he's standing at a door and knocking, waiting for people to open it up so he can come in and dine with them. It's talking about fellowship, relationship. But that verse we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 lets us know something important, that there's coming a point in time where Jesus will relocate himself, where he'll no longer be standing at a door knocking. He'll no longer be interceding with the Father. He will reposition himself on a judgment seat. And each one of us is going to have to pass in front of that judgment seat. And what's going to be important on that day is your relationship with Jesus. That's did I know you? Do we know one another? Not yes, I knew your name. I knew some really good things about doctrine. I knew how to look really concerned in church. I had a great prayer face. I don't know you. I don't know you. We didn't spend time together. Jesus doesn't want you just showing up once or twice a month. He wants to walk with you. And relationship should be sweet and wonderful when you understand the truth about his wonderful grace. So if you've had a relationship with God, but it's been anything but enjoyable, there's things about his wonderful grace you don't understand. If you've been coming to church and trying to do the Jesus thing, but you look at your life and it's really no different than it used to be before, you just feel bad about the things you do, there's something you don't understand about the wonderful grace. You need a revelation of how good his grace really is, all that Jesus really accomplished for you, and make sure that you're found in him, in Jesus.